Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. Today I'm going to speak with a representative of Idaho State Parks about the many work camping opportunities still available for the 2022 season. Today's episode is sponsored by Work Camper News. With its diamond and platinum membership tools, Work Camper News is much more than just a job listing website. When you put the tools of this professional service into action, you'll find out just how easy it can be to turn your work camping dreams into reality. The one-year memberships open the door to a one-stop shop for all things work camping. Being the original resource for work camping, you'll find the largest number of job listings, be able to connect with the community of work campers, and view resources compiled by experts who've been enjoying the RV lifestyle for many years. If you're serious about leading a successful and enjoyable work camping lifestyle, then a diamond or platinum membership is for you. You can even get started with a free 30-day trial by visiting www.workcamper.com/trial. Embark on new adventures today with the support of Work Camper News behind you. For 22 years, Catherine Hampton has been managing the volunteer program at 30 Idaho state parks. It may be a small number compared to those in other state parks in the Pacific Northwest, but Catherine plans to bring on between 300 and 400 volunteers to serve as campground hosts, as well as several seasonal employees. The most popular volunteer job is serving as a campground host, where work campers live within the campground loops, helping to check in people into their sites and answer questions people may have about the parks. Other volunteers are used to perform maintenance around the parks, while others are involved in interpretation or special programs to give nature talks or lead nature walks. Volunteers are also used to staff museums and visitor centers. They operate gift shops and may take reservations. A season typically runs from Memorial Day to Labor Day, but some volunteers are needed early to help ready the park for summer use. They can also work into October as to assist guests who are trying to squeeze out a few more days of fun before winter arrives. The vast majority of jobs are entirely volunteer, although some people can be paid $11 an hour to work as a seasonal employee. However, all work campers get full hookup RV sites and an annual pass, allowing them free admission to other Idaho state parks. On a weekly basis, most of the work is performed on Thursday to Sunday, as well as on major holidays. On busy days, work campers might put in 10 hours a day, but on a typical week would require 20 to 30 hours a week. Volunteers are asked to work at least 1 month when possible, but full seasonal work is available as well. To tell us more about work camping for Idaho State Parks, please welcome Volunteer Manager Catherine Hampton to the show. Thank you for joining me today, Catherine. I really appreciate the time. Tell me a little bit about who you are and what you do for a living.
Morning, Greg. My name is Catherine Hampton, and for the last 22 years, I have been managing the volunteer program for Idaho State Parks.
Oh, very good. So you are recruiting work campers.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my full-time job is to help parks find people to help us, volunteers and actually seasonal employees as well, help us in the summertime in parks.
Okay. How many parks do you have?
We're actually pretty small compared to our neighbors to the west. We have 30 state parks. So Oregon and Washington have in the hundreds. We're pretty small.
Okay. How many people do you typically employ every year?
Employ, or are you talking about
the work campers?
Volunteers?
Yeah, work campers. Do you hire?
We usually bring on somewhere between 300 and 400, and I'm going to call them hosts or volunteers because we don't pay our work campers, Greg. Those are people that are volunteers. Sometimes we pay our we have seasonal employees that we bring on that we do pay. So we have full-time, we have seasonal, and we have volunteers.
Okay. But all of the work campers you typically hire are volunteers?
Correct.
Okay. Super. And you've been utilizing them for how long?
Gosh, I think probably at least since I've been doing this job.
Oh, wow.
Since the creation of Idaho State Parks, we've had volunteers help us in parks.
Okay.
And we've been around since 1965, I think.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So what are some of the jobs that the volunteers do for you?
I think that we're probably pretty typical of our hosting program. So we, of course, have campground hosts, usually folks who live and travel and work from an RV, and they are living in a full hookup site right in the middle of our campground loops. So they are right in the middle of everything, helping our campers do everything that happens in a campground. But we also have positions that are purely maintenance positions for volunteers, or park programming, or you might have heard the word interpretation. So park programming, that's like nature walks and talks, campfire programs, those kinds of things. So interpretation, maintenance, campground hosts. We have some folks who are what I call visitor services hosts or volunteers, and they're the folks that work in our maybe our museums or our visitor centers, turning on the movie, selling stuff in the gift shop, or standing at our entrance stations, giving out information and helping with reservations.
Okay.
So I would say those are our four big categories of hosts or volunteers.
Okay. Are these seasonal positions or year round? Probably in Idaho, it gets a little chilly in the winter.
In parts of the state, it does. And that's what we're experiencing today. I don't think you can see out my window, but of course I'm in Boise and we are in the banana belt of the state, so to speak. But typically our camping season runs from March or April, probably April here in the southern eastern part of the state where it's a little warmer.
Okay.
And goes maybe till October. Depends on what the weather does and what the snow does. But I would say normally, you know, our season is Memorial Day to Labor Day, so May to September.
Okay, very good. And these are all volunteer positions, so they're not paid, correct?
Correct.
But do they get some perks?
Let me just back up a minute. With that said, we oftentimes have our volunteers that are traveling as a couple, where one will work in the summertime as a seasonal employee. Just as an example, maybe she does the maintenance and sits on a lawnmower and gets paid seasonal, you know, wages, which is $11 an hour or something like that. And maybe he does the campground hosting stuff.
Oh,
so that's
okay.
Not totally unheard of. But usually what's pretty normal is that those folks that do our hosting stuff are volunteers. We provide them a full hookup site.
Okay. A full hookup site? Do they have any other perks that come with that? Like, do they get free wood and things like that?
I don't know if they get free wood. That's a good question. I would imagine that since many of our campground hosts do sell wood, that would be a good perk. So I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
If you're in that job, then you should demand some free wood for sure.
All right. Very good.
The other perk is that when you volunteer with us, you get an annual pass, which allows you to visit any of our other state parks. It doesn't allow you to camp for free, but you can certainly enter during the day and use all of our facilities, go to our museums, use our beaches, you know, stay at our day use areas and use our camp picnic facilities anytime. So that's a great opportunity for our volunteers to kind of see what else the rest of the state has to offer.
Very good. How many hours a day do they typically work?
How many hours a day?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to say, so when we get rolling and we get busy in the summertime, the busy days are going to be probably Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And certainly on holidays, you're going to be working 8 to 10 hours a day. I mean, that's not unusual. So what that means is that typically in a week, it might be 20, 30 hours, probably half of what our full-time employees are working. And then you have the rest of the days of your week off to be with your partner and explore other parts of the state. We wouldn't ask volunteers to work alternate schedules. We would work at the same time, at least on the same days.
Well, that's a good perk in itself. So when they have time off, they have time off together.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. And so how far in, so are they responsible primarily for working on the weekends? Is that what I hear you saying? Or do they have different jobs they have to do during the week too?
You know, every park ranger, every person, whether it's a park ranger or a park manager that's in charge of supervising the volunteers will work one-on-one with our volunteers to set their schedule. But my guess is, at least for campground hosts, that busy time of the week is going to be, you know, those Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday holiday kind of things. Now, for other folks, maybe the maintenance people, they probably don't have as rigorous as a schedule as far as what days we actually need you there. And so, again, it probably just depends on what kind of schedule you work out with the paid staff while you're there.
Okay. Now, are all of the work campers working the same type of jobs? Are they like working camp hosts one day and maintenance the other, park programs the next, and reservations on a different day? Or do you hire different people for each of those jobs?
We're usually hiring different people to fit individual slots. So we're, and of course, with that said, a lot of times a campground host overlaps a lot of those positions. So, you know, they might be doing campground hosting on one day and they might do work in the store on one day and they might, but typically we will hire somebody to do a specific job. If we want somebody to do maintenance, they're only going to probably do maintenance most of the time. And really that kind of depends on the size of the park. If we have a really tiny park and we only have one host site and they're it, then they're going to, you know, get a chance to do a little bit of everything.
Okay.
But some parks where they have 20 or 30 volunteers, they will slot them into really specific spots.
Okay. And
depending on what their interest is.
Sure. What type of jobs are the camp hosts doing typically outside of checking in and checking out the guests?
I think that if you are living and working in a campground loop, what we expect most is that you be our customer service ambassadors. More than anything else, we want to know that mom and dad and a truckload of kids coming into a campground at 10 o'clock at night, who've left Boise or wherever, and they're tired and they're cranky and they're ready to get out of the car. We want them to drive into that campground loop and see, wow, there's the campground host. They're helping us back into our slot. They're telling us where our site is, and they're telling us when the campfire program is. And look, they've already been around, and my name is on that sign, so I know this is my spot. And they have raked my site clean, so it's ready for me, and it looks great. There's not any trash. So I think more than anything, those folks are our friendly faces, and they're our customer service ambassadors. The flip side of that is that they are also the people there that get to say, hey, do you know that quiet hours are at 10 o'clock? We need for you to turn the radio down. It's past 10 now. And hey, do you know that you're supposed to keep your dog on a 6-foot leash or when you're in the campground? So in addition to that, they have to be able to tell people when they're breaking the rules. We're not asking them to enforce the rules. There's a huge difference there. But we are certainly asking them to be the eyes and ears for problems. If there's a problem in the restroom, if there's a problem with a domestic site in some space, something looks like it's going wrong, we expect our hosts to be proactive in calling for help.
Okay. So then they call the ranger and the ranger comes over and they're paid to deal with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. A volunteer doesn't get paid anything. So we don't want them to place themselves in any kind of harm or even any situation where they're going to have hurling obscenities thrown at them or anything like that. I always say that the best part of being a volunteer is that you can say, thank you very much, have a good day, and turn and walk away.
That's a good point. So for the maintenance positions, are these guys fixing picnic tables? Or are they doing things more complicated than that?
Could be that. We have maintenance volunteers that work side by side with our paid staff every summer. We have some volunteers who say, hey, I just want to sit on a lawnmower all summer long. And we know that parks have big expanses of grass.
Indeed.
Mowing lawns takes a lot of time in our parks. So certainly we have folks that do a lot of mowing. We have folks that help us with down trees when we have storms. We help folks that help us with broken sprinkler irrigation. We have, yes, folks that fix picnic tables, people that do a lot of painting, almost any kind of maintenance thing you can imagine. If that's your jam, we have something that you can do in parks.
Okay. And for the park programs, it sounds like these are people that you need who are really good with people and like to teach. Is that what they're doing?
Yeah. So I would guess that this probably requires you to do more homework than any of the other type of volunteer jobs. But a lot of people like to be teachers. They like to tell what they know about trees of Idaho, or what they know about the Oregon history of Idaho, or the gold rush days of Idaho. So people that like to tell their stories and tell our historical stories. So parks that don't have campgrounds, we still have volunteers, and we still have full hookup sites for volunteers in our historical parks and parks that don't have campgrounds. So if history is your jam, or you like to tell little kids about, you know, snakes or whatever, then those are our park programming folks, or sometimes they're called interpretive hosts. And literally they are people who do their homework, or they take information, what I would say a canned program, and present it to, you know, a nature group, or maybe they might gather a bike rally together on a Saturday morning and the kids ride around the campground loop, or, you know, they're just organizing things for people to do while they're in parks.
Very good. Now, the reservationist sounds like it's pretty much an inside job where they're sitting at a computer kind of thing, taking phone calls from people. Is that right?
You know, I would guess probably that most of our volunteers are not those people. They're not the ones that are doing the computer work. They're not the ones making reservations. They're not the ones taking, you know, the problems when we double book or any of those kinds of things. I think most of the time that job falls to our paid staff. But what we're asking our volunteers to do is take a daily report and look at site number 12 and see, oh, Bob's leaving it in site number 12. I'm putting the new hang tag, his post that Mary is coming in after him and she's leaving on this date. So it's a matter of more or less posting signs and kind of keeping up with who's leaving early, who's, you know, just how things are going with reservations and campgrounds.
Very good. Do the work campers need any special skills or training?
In some cases, if you are going to be doing maintenance and you want to run a chainsaw, we're not just going to give you a chainsaw and say, go for it. You're going to have to prove to us that you actually can, you know, use a chainsaw. And we'll probably even be as silly as say, you know, even to use a weed whacker, we need to make sure that you can do that safely up to our standards and you're wearing the protective equipment that we have for you with, you know, everything. So I would say, other than, you know, using our equipment, that there's not a lot of special training. Of course, I wouldn't engage in any kind of volunteer work if somebody didn't train me on their what they wanted me to do, whether that's campground hosting or whatever it is. So I would say that's a number one thing that a applicant should ask is what kind of training am I going to get to do this job?
Mm-hmm. What kind of traits or qualifications do you look for in work campers?
I would say that the top thing is that you need to like people. And you're going to find out really quickly if you don't like doing campground hosting, because if you don't like people, this is certainly the wrong job for you. So you have to learn to be patient. You have to smile when you don't feel like smiling. I think it's important that you learn to engage people, say, hey, how's it going? You know, just to be that friendly face, just to be, to like people.
Okay. And that's for pretty much all the positions, but especially for the campground host. Okay. Right. When do you begin recruiting for the next season?
Oh, we've already started. So it is, let's see, what are we in? November now, but we usually start this process right after Labor Day. So it, one season ends or starts, the minute it starts to slow down, my job really kicks in. So after, you know, after Labor Day, I would expect to see my email box filling up and my online applications starting to come from now or from September through the first of the year. Mm-hmm. And hopefully if all the stars are aligned correctly, you know, by February, March, you're starting to look pretty good and having those spots filled up.
What's involved in your interview and hiring process?
Say that again, Greg. I didn't hear you. Cut out a little bit.
What is involved in the interview and hiring process?
Of course, again, I'm going to say every park, I don't do the direct hiring and firing of volunteers for the parks. They all handle that. But I think if I had to just say what it typically would look like is, so though all the applications that come in come to me, so I'm in a central location and I do the initial screening for all of those applications, and I'm looking at things like, what time of year do you want to be with us? Does that park have an opening at that time of year? What kind of things do you want to do? How big is your rig? Will you fit into our host sites? So those kinds of things, where do you want to go? And then, so I do that initial screening, talk to them, talk to applicants if there's some questions or things I don't understand. And then I forward those on. I have after all this time, I have a pretty good idea of what parks are looking for, what volunteers. So I forward them on to those parks, and then they take it from there. They take that application and they call those applications and line up interviews. They're calling their references. They're, you know, doing their interviews. They have a list of questions. So it's a hard thing to do, as you can imagine, that you don't get to see anyone face to face unless you do a Zoom meeting interview. But those parks are hiring based on, you know, phone interviews and their reference checks.
If one park decides they don't need a specific work camper, does that application then come back to you so it could be sent to a different park?
No, they usually, parks talk to each other. Okay. So usually they will sometimes shuffle those applications between each other. They'll say, hey, I can't use you here, but I know that, you know, Jake Dorjak, he can use you. So I'm going to send your application to him. And are you open to that? And so they'll get moved around. Sometimes they might come back to me. I have, you know, instances when volunteers are really, they're really proactive, and that's the way I like it. I'm working with a guy right now. I know I've sent his application out to two or three or four different parks already, and that he's not getting any satisfaction. He hasn't heard anything. So he comes back to me, which I love that. Mm-hmm. To say, hey, I haven't heard anything, or no, I don't like when they have their vacancies. What can you do? So I would just say that there's never too much communication. If you haven't heard anything, if you're going, oh, that's that Idaho, they never even called me. Well, part of that comes back to you as the applicant to say, I really want to work there. And if you do, then you have to take part of that ownership too. So getting back in touch, picking up the phone and calling Park Ranger X in Park X and say, hey, I've talked with Catherine. She's told me that she sent my application to you. Where are you in your hiring process? Okay. And I tell applicants to do that all the time. I said, they have your application. Mm-hmm. Park rangers don't sit around and go, oh, I'm just sitting here waiting for volunteer applications to come in.
It's not the only thing they do, is it?
That's not the only thing they do. So they have to be, if you're an applicant and you really want to, there's a certain park you want to work in Idaho, then call them or call me and say, who do I talk to? And I can send you to the right person.
Very good. Do the applicants have to apply for a specific park, or can they just say, I want to work in Idaho?
Most people that volunteer for us don't come from Idaho, so they're not really familiar with where our parks are and what part of the state do I want to be in. Mm-hmm. Do I want to be in a warmer part of the state? Do I want to be in the southern part of the state? So as my snowbird connection, it's quick to Arizona. Or do you want to be, I definitely don't want to be where it's hot. I want to be in the cooler part of the state.
Okay.
So typically when an application comes in, they do have the opportunity to say, I know specifically where I want to go. I want to go to Henry's Lake. It's on the border of Yellowstone. That's the only place I want to go. If you don't have something for me there, I don't want to consider that.
Okay.
So you have the option to do that. But you also have the option to say, you know, I don't know anything about Idaho. Pick something for me. And usually when somebody is more flexible, that's certainly easier for us because I will look and I'll say, okay, they express some interest in parks in the northern part of our state, but maybe they don't know about this park in addition to the ones that they mentioned. So I will usually take that on to say, I'm gonna pass application on to several parks in the panhandle of Idaho instead of just these two or three that you mentioned.
Very good. What can a work camper really do to stand out among the other applicants if they need to?
I would say probably don't be afraid to be proactive. Again, that I mentioned that. And I would say probably an applicant who is more open to trying new things, somebody who's not really set in their ways. As we get older, we get kind of set in our ways. And I always say everything is negotiable. So if a park ranger is saying these are the duties of your job, and that's not something you want to do, instead of just ignoring it during the interview, I would be open with them to say, hey, you know, I'm not really comfortable with cleaning restrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that's what most of our volunteers do, but I will guarantee you if a park ranger can get a volunteer to clean a restroom, they will ask you to do it.
Yes.
I always say you don't get paid enough to clean a restroom. So if that is a absolute deal breaker for you, then you should tell them that. I am not willing to do that. It's better to have a good experience doing the things that you love to do than I didn't speak up during my interview and now I'm stuck doing trash pickup and litter pickup and restroom cleanup. So I would say that a volunteer that really knows what they want to do, or they are open to trying new experiences, certainly somebody that can say, I really like people. I like meeting new people. I meet friends wherever I go. And if you ask me to help, I'm willing to kick in and help wherever I can. So those kind of people are going to stand out.
Okay, very good. What draws people to Idaho? I mean, what are things that they can do when they're not working?
Oh, gosh. Well, of course, I think we're probably a little known state. A lot of people don't know what is here in Idaho. So those folks who want to see new places and try new things, Idaho has some of the most beautiful country and most varied country of all. We have desert parks. We have some of the biggest sand dunes in the country. If you didn't know that, we actually have huge sand dunes here in Idaho. We have some of the biggest ponderosa pines in the United States. So I would say there's lots of water. There's lots of recreation. There's lots of beautiful things to see.
And it's because it is so tall of a state. Does that get you? It gets really cold in the northern part, but down in the southern area, you said it's a little warmer?
Yeah. So we have parks that border all the way up to
Mexico.
Up to Canada. Up to Canada in the northern part of the state. And yeah, they probably are already starting to experience some snow this time of year. But where I am here in Boise, from Boise further east, summers can be 100 degrees.
Okay.
But the nice part about, I would say the nice part about Boise is, or the southern part of the state, is our summers are hot when they're hot, but they don't last. You know, we get a couple of days of really hot weather. It'll spike and then it'll come back down. But summers are summer. It's going to be hot.
Okay. How remote are the parks?
Well, that's a really good point. And We have some parks that are what I would consider more urban parks. So, you know, they're within 30 minutes of a Walmart or medical care. And then we have some facilities that are very remote, and there's not anything within an hour of where you need to go. If you need that, that's something that you need to, you know, really, really pay attention to.
So they should talk to you about that during that initial screening as to,
absolutely. And with that said, I understand, and the parks understand too, that some of the only connections that travelers have is the need for Wi-Fi. So, you know, that's a really good question. There are some places, and we are fairly remote as a state in that respect. A lot of our parks don't have reliable Wi-Fi unless you're sitting in the visitor center. So some of our, you know, volunteer loops where we have our volunteers stay may not have consistent, reliable Wi-Fi all the time.
Okay.
Just something to consider. And I know people need to have that connection.
What about cell connections? Is that pretty much standard? Can people get that throughout the state, or does it vary as well?
I think it can be sketchy in places. I would say our cell service is probably more reliable than our Wi-Fi sometimes, but you're always going to be able to get cell service at the visitor center or in the store, those kinds of things.
Okay.
So you won't ever be disconnected completely.
Are there some cell companies that are better reception up in Idaho than others?
I think Verizon is known to be better.
Okay.
That's what my cell service is, and I've always had good luck with Verizon.
Very good. What is one thing you wish all work campers knew before coming to work for you?
I'm going to go back to everything is negotiable. I would just say, don't do it if you don't enjoy doing it. You know, don't get involved or do it, you know, for the first time, say, oh, this is an adventure. I know I'm going to spend a month in Idaho. I've never done this before. Be open to new experiences, and then be honest with yourself to say, nope, this is not my thing. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this job. And start small. We offer opportunities at least a month. That's what we ask, is volunteers stay at least a month. But, you know, as we get closer to the start of our season, maybe in May, parks are going to start scrambling, going, oh, I got to fill all these slots. 2 weeks. It'll do. 2 weeks. Just come and stay 2 weeks. So we don't usually offer that up front. But I would say, you know, be willing to stay at least a month and honor your commitment. If you say, Park Ranger Joe, I'm going to sign this agreement, which we have you sign an agreement that says I'm going to stay May through October. And if you sign that agreement, then we want you to honor that commitment and not go, I decided I got a better offer in Oregon. I'm leaving early. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you honor your commitments and do what you say you're going to do. Our parks need that more than anything, because it's the hardest thing for them in mid-season to lose a volunteer when we are right in the middle of busy season and, you know, 7 million visitors a year descending upon us. We need people that are going to be there when they say they're going to be there.
That's an excellent point. So people do not have to come in March or April and stay all the way through October. They can come work for 1 month or 2 months.
Absolutely.
But whatever they commit to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Absolutely. And again, you know, all of that is negotiable, adjustable. We don't know what the weather is going to do. And a park may call you in June and say, you know, I know you're supposed to be here in June, but we've still got snow on the ground and our campground is not opening up. So that ability to be a little flexible helps us. But
Very good. So where can people get more information about this opportunity or learn more about the state parks?
Our website is Parks and Recreation, so all spelled out all together, parksandrecreation.idaho.gov.
Very good.
And that takes you to our main website, and you can follow the links for volunteering.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you so much, Catherine. I really appreciate the time. It's been a wonderful conversation. Absolutely. And I hope we can bring you a lot of work campers.
I hope so, too. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
I enjoyed speaking with Catherine Hampton, volunteer manager for Idaho State Parks. If you'd like to help families enjoy their time off, this would be a great opportunity for you to greet weary travelers, guide them to their campsites, and explain any special programming planned for the week. Campground hosts are also involved in educating guests in a friendly way about quiet hours and leash rules. If there's ever a problem at a campsite, the hosts simply summon rangers to come deal with the situation. Maintenance jobs may involve mowing throughout the park, removing downed trees, repairing broken irrigation, fixing picnic tables, and painting various structures. These are the most technical jobs in the system because maintenance workers may use chainsaws, mowers, and weed whackers. People involved in interpretation programs have to do a little more homework than the other volunteers because they actually become teachers. They may be telling stories about the Idaho Gold Rush or describing some of the wildlife and plants common to a park. These volunteers lead people on bike rides throughout the park by pointing out items of interest or simply organizing activities for children and adults. People helping with reservations ensure that new arrivals can easily see when they're expected, find their campsites, and follow up on a guest's departure date. Applying for jobs is relatively easy and involves submitting an application, which goes to Catherine. She does an initial screening and determines availability and job preferences. She also determines if the RVer's rig can fit into one of the available work camping sites. Catherine then forwards applications to the individual park staff for the scheduled interviews over phone or via Zoom. After the interview, background check is performed on all volunteer applicants. There are hundreds of volunteers needed for the 2022 season, and Catherine would really enjoy speaking with you about where you would best fit into the Idaho park system. You can call her at 208-514-2493 or email Catherine.Hampton@idpr.idaho.gov or visit www.parksandrecreation.idaho.gov. It will be a great way to enjoy one of the most scenic regions of the Pacific Northwest. Today's episode is sponsored by The Dreamer's Journey. It's an online course and community produced by WorkCamper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear because you were designed for more. Get started in the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For just $29.95 for 1 year of access, Dreamers have unlimited viewing of 50-plus videos to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, setting up a domicile, and operating a small business on the road, plus everything about work camping and how to find the right job for you. Each video is 30 to 90 minutes long, giving an in-depth coverage on each topic. There's no wrong time to get started, so for more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. That's all we have for this week's show. Next time, I'll be speaking with a man who will be talking about many work camping jobs next summer at Montana's Glacier National Park. You won't want to miss this one. I'll have more details on the next episode of The Work Camper Show. Until then, all of us at Work Camper News wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for listening.